Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening to what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, enjoy.
Well, good morning and welcome to Hawley Baptist Church Online, whether you're watching on YouTube or your favourite podcast, wherever it is, you're very welcome. My name's Neil.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts this morning. And today we continue our series on heaven and eternity, which is a fairly big subject.
It is.
Yeah. I just saying earlier on, it's not the sort of subject you talk about down the pub.
No, not really, is it?
You talk about football and you talk about your holidays and you may stray into politics, whatever. But I don't think I've ever heard, well, I've never been down the pub and talked about heaven and eternity.
No, not really. Not just from like a casual sort of drink at the pub with a couple of friends. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, but it's such a big subject.
It is.
And it's such an important subject. You would think perhaps people would talk about it. I looked on, I Googled it earlier on, and apparently, well, according to Google, 42% of people in the UK believe in heaven, which means 58% don't.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Almost half the population of people believe in heaven.
Yeah.
But we never talk about it.
No.
It's a funny thing. And today's the second in the series, and it's entitled Martin's Talking to Us, and it's How Do I Get Into Heaven is the subject. So,
How do I get into heaven? How do you get into heaven?
Well, tell you what, let's watch the trailer and listen to Martin.
Heaven. We all wonder about it. What's it like? Will we see loved ones again? And does it even matter for life today? But what if eternity isn't just about the future, but something we're already a part of? This series, we're diving into what the Bible really says about heaven and eternal life, and why it changes how we live right now. Because eternity doesn't start someday, it starts now.
It's great to see you all here. This is very strange for me because this is the first time I'm going to be preaching twice this morning, so you get the fresher version. This morning, just to say, we're starting this new series, started last week, The Truth About Heaven and Eternal Life and How It Can Transform Your Life Today. If you missed the first part, do catch up on our YouTube channel. And just so you know, we're basing it around this book called Eternity Is Now by John Ortberg. John Ortberg's written loads of books. Some of you might have read some of them already. But that's, if you want to delve a little bit deeper, you might want to read that book. And that's what we're going to be, what we're basing our series on. Now, height is incredibly important for Joel, my youngest son. He's 7 years old. And every now and then we have to measure his height because he is 2 centimeters off being able to not have to use a car seat in the car anymore. And he cannot wait to get rid of that bumper seat and to be able to sit like all the rest of his family on the actual car seat. So we measure it every now and then. Like I said, 2 centimetres to go. It seems to be taking a long time to grow those 2 centimetres. It seems stuck. But the rule is quite clear. At 135 centimetres tall or 12 years old, you no longer need to be in a car seat. If you're shorter than that or younger than that, then you cannot be out of your car seat. It's quite clear. We also have the same problem with height. We went to Chessington, World of Adventures, for Joel's 7th birthday. And if you've been there, I have to admit, I just spent the entire time holding the rest of the family's stuff while they went on the ride because I don't cope well with rides. It was packed. But as you go to the ride, it has a height chart there as you go to it. And if you have to be over a certain height, I think it's 120 centimeters to get on most of the ride. There was a couple of rides that you need to be taller. So they check your height, and then at the end, there's a guy standing just before you get onto the ride who's got a stick, once again, to make sure, doubly check that you haven't snuck in, because you have to be. It's very clear. If you're not taller than 120 centimeters, you cannot go on this ride. It's very clear cut. It's very black and white. And as we look at this series about heaven and eternal life, last week we had Neil talking about this wonderful place of heaven where we experience God's reign and God's power and God's kingdom. And it's not something we have to wait till we die to experience. We can experience something of heaven and God's now in our life. Eternity has already started. But I'm left with that question, how do I get in? How do I know whether I am in or whether I am out? Is it very black and white like the height chart in Chessington or the rules around car seats? You're either in or you're out. It reminds me of a question that a rich guy asked Jesus. And he said this, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? If I have a checklist, if I have a list of rules, what do I need to tick off in order to get this, to be part of God's kingdom, to experience this eternal life, this heaven? And likewise, Paul and Silas, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago, they were imprisoned and God miraculously freed them from prison. And the jailer asked a very similar question. He asked this, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It's the same question, just posed in a slightly different way. How do I know if I am in or I am out? How do I know if I measure up? How will I know if I'm good enough? How will I know that I won't get stopped before I get in at the pearly gates? It reminds me of a film I watched a while ago. I had to look up what it was called. It's called Greenland with Gerard Butler. It's an action apocalyptic movie where a comet's going to smash into the earth and destroy most of living life. And Gerard Butler's got a particularly important role in the government, so he gets chosen to get on a big passenger plane and flown to Greenland, where they have a bunker where they can live safely until the life is restored to the world. And the story is about, obviously it doesn't go well, it gets complicated, finds out his son's got diabetes and they won't let him on the plane. But at the end, he gets in this bunker just as a comet smashes into the earth. And maybe heaven's like that. It's a nuclear bunker that's going to protect me. The password, I need a password, I need certain criteria to get in. And if I get in, then I am saved. Is that what it's like? How do I know if I'm in or if I'm out? Well, Paul and Silas, when they replied to the jailer, said this, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your households. Is it really that simple? That's amazing. If I believe in Jesus, then I'm in. I've got entrance to that bunker. And actually, Paul kind of explains it in a little bit more detail in his letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, for by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. In other words, Jesus, through his death on the cross, has paid the cost. The cross is a transaction. All you need to do is just sign on the dotted line and you're sorted. That's all that's required. And this is a big theme for Paul. It's not what we have done, but what Christ has done on our behalf that gets us in. But there's a bit of a danger in that. Sometimes we can view that as the minimum requirements necessary to get into God's kingdom. That actually, if we just sign on the dotted line and sign up for what Jesus has done on the cross, then I'm in. And I can become a card-carrying Christian, regardless of what I do in my life. And if someone knocks on the door and says, oh, have you heard about Jesus? Are you a Christian? You can get your wallet out, dust off the card and go, yes, look, in 1987, I signed on the dotted line and I am in. And sometimes our evangelism, our mission as a church can just be getting people to sign on the dotted line. As long as they've done that, we're sorted. It's done. Simple. But actually, James, brother of Jesus, picks up on that issue, that danger. In his letter called James, he could have thought of a slightly better title, but James chapter 2, verse 14 and 17, he says this: what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So what James is saying here is signing on the dotted line, saying you believe is not enough. You need to have some evidence that you are a follower of Jesus, that you do believe, that you have, and James is saying it's by what you do. And what we're doing here, what James is kind of doing here, I guess, is creating, what we can do is create a boundary. It's almost like a fence, where if you're on one side of the fence, you're in. If you're on the other side of the fence, you're out. You're either in the bunker and safe from the comet, or you're out of the bunker and you're going to perish. And this could be reflected in how we do church. That actually we kind of reflect heaven and God's kingdom in who we let in and who we leave out, who we allow to do things and who we say, sorry, you can't do things. I remember I was involved in one church where a very respected member of the congregation made a complaint against a certain young lady who was in the music group. It turned out the young lady was sleeping with her boyfriend. And she said, unless she is removed from the music group, I'm going to resign. So I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to sort this out. And I ended up approaching this lady, and it all went very, very wrong. This lady, this girl was only there because her boyfriend's parents were at the church, and she wasn't a Christian, but she was exploring, and she wanted to be in the music group. And I basically said, you can't be in the worship group. And then I started coming up with, it snowballed. And I started going through all the jobs in the church and saying, okay, who can do this and who can't do this? Do you have to be a member? Do you not have to be a member? Do you have to be a Christian? Do you have to not be a Christian? And it became a huge thing that fortunately never got put into place. Because actually, it didn't go well. We end up trying to make decisions about where that boundary line is. How do we judge who is in and who is out? Who is in our churches? Who is in God's kingdom? Who's ultimately in heaven? And if you're more conservative, your boundary might be tighter and you say you're Bible-based. Or if you're more liberal, you might be your boundary might be further out. You're saying you're more loving. There seems to be this competing contrast about where do we put the line. And when it comes to the criteria we use to measure, we tend to choose ones which are easily visible and noticeable. Actually, Tim Chester, who works extensively in the hardest to reach and least evangelized areas of the world in the UK, those areas of deprivation in our country, notes this about those boundary lines. The sins of those from deprived areas are often readily apparent. Addiction, rage, theft, extramarital sex, drunkenness. The sins of the middle classes, in contrast, are typically less immediately apparent. Greed, pride, self-reliance, individualism, lack of generosity, self-justification. So he's saying that actually what we can end up doing is focusing on certain sins that we can easily see and measure and ignoring those other sins that actually we're not quite sure what's going on there, so we'll just forget about those. And what Tim Chester says that the consequences of that is that we can push out people from maybe more areas of deprivation while encouraging people from middle classes who maybe still have problems and sins that are just not quite so readily apparent. And this was exactly the problem that Jesus faced. He was condemned for hanging out with those that were labeled by the religious elite as sinners, those unable to live up to their expectations of behavior, the rules that they had created, the boundaries that demonstrated one's holiness. And it's interesting because it's those religious elites that Jesus labeled as whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but dead and decaying on the inside. Because the difficulty when it comes to choosing who is in and out by boundaries is actually it's what's inside that counts. And we can't see that. And the only person who sees and judges our hearts is God. C.S. Lewis said these words in Mere Christianity. The world does not consist of 100% Christians and 100% non-Christians. There are people, a great many of them, who are slowly ceasing to be Christians, but who still call themselves by that name. Some of them are clergymen. There are other people who are slowly becoming Christians, for they do so not for Christians, though they do not yet call themselves so. In other words, if we're going, this is the boundary line, these are 100% Christians, these are 100% not Christians, that actually it misses out a whole spectrum of people in between. So how do we know who is in and who is out? Well, in Australia, I don't know if any of you have been to Australia. If you go to the outback, where it's dry and arid, it's a massively hot country, where there's just lack of water, there are two ways of keeping your cattle from going away. One way is to create a boundary, to build a fence. They can't get past the fence. That will work. But the second way is to build a well. And they'll just keep being drawn to that water where they'll find sustenance and life. See, when Jesus was asked, where is heaven? Where is God's kingdom? He didn't point to a nuclear bunker where the password is Jesus. He told them, you might not be able to perceive it, but heaven, the kingdom of God, is within your reach. It's within your midst. It's within you. That the kingdom of heaven is Jesus. And if Jesus is taught properly and understood well, then you will find that Jesus either draws people to him or pushes them away. In fact, Jesus himself said, my teaching is maybe too hard for some of you. And the Gospels record that people then went away because they couldn't take what Jesus was saying. And we call it when we start to, like that cattle being drawn to the water, when we are drawn to Jesus, that is called a word which is repentance, which means to turn around. That actually you're walking away from God, you're walking away from Jesus. But you reckon something is happening within you, the work of God in your heart that is convicting you that there is something not quite right in your life, and there is something missing. And you repent, you turn towards Jesus, the living water, and you move towards him step by step. And that change in the heart may not be straight away obvious from the outside. But what the Bible makes clear to us, as the Holy Spirit continues to work in your heart, that will bring change and that will bring transformation. That it will lead to a change in your external behavior. But that might be quickly, or that might take time. Some things might get sorted straight away. Some things you may struggle with for the rest of your life. Interestingly, Tim Chester, who got that quote from the book Unreached, in his church, when he wants to decide who is someone, where someone's heart is at, rather than doing it by what their behavior is, he wants to see how they respond when that behavior is challenged. Do they respond with indignation, going, what, you don't know what you're talking about, you can't tell me what to do? Or do they respond with repentance? It's repentance which demonstrates our hearts more so than whether or not we can tick the boxes or behave by the rules. So, that question I asked at the beginning, how do I know if I'm in or if I'm out? How do I know whether I am part of God's kingdom, heaven? Well, I think both Paul and James were right. Actually, really, it is as simple as believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That through Christ's death on the cross, we have been saved. It's got nothing to do. We can't earn our way into heaven. But actually, it's more than just believe. And this is where James picks up the importance of not just believing in Jesus, but following Jesus. Putting Jesus at the center. Over time, bit by bit, being transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit within your heart. So your behavior changes and you become more like Jesus. And that can lead to massive transformation. So how do you follow Jesus? You need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to trust him and welcome him into your life. Place him at the center of who you are and what you do. All your ambitions, all your dreams, give them to Jesus. Invite him into your heart and let him do the rest. Let God do a work in you. We're going to listen to just a few questions. Just take some time just to ask God to continue to speak to you this morning. Let's have the questions. Thanks, Steve.
Some questions. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Is it more than believing and behaving? Are you sometimes guilty of judging a book by its cover? Is God bringing transformation in your heart? Do you trust God with your heart?
Well, that was good and challenging.
Yeah.
He didn't always say exactly what I thought he was going to say, I think he was really good. So. Yeah. I don't know, one thing Martin said that sort of struck you?
Just that, you know, that Jesus is just that living water, isn't he? That he's that's what it comes down to, is just living through him. And you kind of wake up every day, we've done this right, we've done that wrong, we've done that. But sometimes it's just knowing that he's with you and just being attentive to the Spirit within your life and having Christian community to help you with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it always reminds me of that joke, and I had exactly the same thought. It's that sort of thing where the Sunday school kid is asked, "What's got green and yellow feathers and flies around and squawks?" And the kid replies, "Well, it sounds like a parrot, but I know the answer is Jesus." And the answer is Jesus, because I think we do get. Jesus. I think we do. We're very easy getting into that. We judge people
as to where we think
they are.
I think you could genuinely live your life and, take the Bible as literally as you want to all the rest of it without getting into that and tick off every single box and not, I'm not God, but not please the Father, not pleased, I mean? And it becomes that sort of, that thing where you just kind of, it becomes legalistic and actually... Jesus is so much more than that. He came to, he was the antithesis of that, wasn't he?
He was
that living water, the Holy Spirit coming to him. And that is hard. And it's not that that's wishy-washy and that we can just do what we want. Absolutely not. I think that there is a discipline in Jesus. I think it's a sacrifice. I think through that comes that sense of intimacy and that love and that kind of healthy fear of God. I think all of that is really important. But it's not about aimlessly just sort of ticking boxes. I think
quite interesting. I thought I can't remember Tim somebody what his name was, who was talking about working in the most deprived churches, that, you know, dealing with drug addiction and drunkenness and all the other stuff that typically perhaps is more prevalent in deprived areas than middle class areas. But God just sees us as we are, and we probably judge people like that as well. And but God sees us, and you know, and none of us measure up.
No, we don't. You know, that's the point. That's the point.
It goes back to the answer is Jesus, and in our own lives, where do we place, you know, the person of Jesus? And God knows that, and probably we know that as to you know, is Jesus the most important thing, or is he an add-on, or is he just not affected at all? And maybe we need to worry about that less and let God worry about that more. And
I think
let individuals. Yeah.
And I think that God, you know, I think God loves us very, very much, and he wants the very, very best for us.
Yes.
That is to do with, that's why he gave his son to you know, die for the sins of the world. You know, that is the gospel message, isn't it? And just coming back to that simple truth time and time again, which is some days harder than others, but Jesus has done it all, and it's living through him. That is a living thing that we can go to every day. Relationship with him.
Yeah, we talk about grace, don't we? And I can remember as a kid, when I was, you know, grace is a funny word, and what does it mean? And one definition is probably not the most Greek scholarly definition, but one definition of it's God's riches, which is heaven, God's riches at Christ's expense.
Absolutely.
Because Jesus died and rose again. And we're probably going to draw this to a close shortly. We were talking earlier on that heaven and eternal life is probably not the subject we talk about down the pub, but perhaps we ought to. And if it's not the pub, well, please feel free, if you've heard what you've heard today and it struck you, or you think of a friend that maybe you don't want to go down the pub and talk to, but actually what you could do is just send this message on to them, then please, you can email us at gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk, or just share the link and let somebody else, and just say to somebody, I heard this recently, thought of you, and be interested to know what you think, because it is a big challenging topic.
It's a big challenging topic.
You know, eternal life. So I think that's the most us done. So if you have got questions, please do email us. Feel free to share with a friend. The third one in the series next Sunday, and we'll look forward to seeing people then. If not, that's it. I start. I think. Thanks very much for joining us.
Bye.
That was today's episode of the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We hope this prompted you to want to follow Jesus even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us at gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We would love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder that you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can access that and our YouTube channel by heading to hawleybaptist.org.uk/media. Thank you again for listening to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we will see you next time.